Hello. On today's show, highlights of a special concert set by man of the moment, American saxophonist Kamasi Washington. His music draws from many influences, including hip-hop and soul, with spiritual components from saxophone icon John Coltrane, wrapped up in a conception heavily influenced by fellow sax man Pharoah Saunders in particular, like on this track. Let's rewind and go back to the source. From 1971, here is Pharoah with jazz harpist and pianist Alice Coltrane, and this is the title track from her 1971 album, Journey in Satchitananda. Journey in Satchitananda, the classic piece inspired by Indian guru Swami Satchitananda and written by friend and devotee, pianist and harpist Alice Coltrane from her iconic album of the same name released on the Impulse label. The music features the saxophone of Pharoah Saunders, who's often the first person our concert set artist brings to mind with his colourful textures and energy. So, great music to look forward to later on from saxophonist Kamasi Washington, recorded at the 2015 London Jazz Festival. Interesting to note that Kamasi's triple album, The Epic, which appeared in many of 2015's end-of-year polls, was released by Alice Coltrane's grandnephew, the producer, DJ and rapper Flying Lotus, on his Brainfeeder Records. Well, joining me in the Jazz Lineup Studios is Kevin Legendre. Welcome, Kevin. It's great to have you here.
Hiya, Julian.
Well, I know that you were at the Kamasi show, and it's great to hear that classic again. I'm sure there was an atmosphere of anticipation for Kamasi's gig.
Absolute feverish excitement that you could feel in the foyer, people milling around before you went into the auditorium before the gig started. And let's not forget that The Epic was one of the albums of the year, of 2015, last year. And Kamasi was probably the breakout artist of 2015 as well. And I think the impact that the record made was such that when the gig was announced several months before the concert, it started to sell very, very quickly. And it sold out pretty quickly as well. So when we actually got to the gig for the London Jazz Festival, there was a roadblock, basically. And as I say, that sense of people really looking forward to something, really thinking, oh, this is going to be special, you could feel it in the air.
Well, another key influence on Kamasi is the sax giant John Coltrane. And he speaks about listening to Coltrane's recording Transition every day for years and calls it the most influential solo album for him. This is the title track, Transition.
Thank you.
saxophone master John Coltrane in 1965 and Transition, the title track of the classic album released on the Impulse label. Jimmy Garrison was on bass, Elvin Jones was on drums, and the explosive McCoy Tyner on piano. And an album cited by Kamasi as a firm favorite and seminal influence on him and his music. Well, soon we'll be hearing tonight's concert set highlights, but before we do, let's hear again from Kevin Legendre, who was at the gig at the Barbican. Tell us about the show that evening.
It was an evening of contrasts. The first half was by the Mancunian trio Gogo Penguin, with dancers and choreography by Lynn Page. That set us up nicely. They got a very, very good response. And then the second half, with Kamasi Washington, really delivered, I think, the full Monty. We were listening to Coltrane there, and we were talking about just the sheer power of the sound. Mm. So much of that music is defined by how big the sounds are that they produce. And I think that's what he's going for. That's what he's really tapping into. Certainly in the way that he set the music up with this two-drummer group that he has, giving us a lot of power and a lot of depth. I think from the moment that they came on stage, they kind of hit the ground running, and they went from there.
Spirituality was very important in Coltrane's music, and this is something that Kamasi definitely alludes to.
It's a major element of what he does, so obviously he's drawing on Coltrane and Pharoah Sanders as well. And I think that whole tradition of people making spiritual statements through music. So that's one element. I mean, the other element of the music, which I feel is very important, is that connection with the weight and the depth of the sound that you get through hip-hop culture, which is something that he's been involved in as well through Flying Lotus, that you hear in contemporary electronica as well. And it's really the way that these elements come together to give you something which is very lyrical, very emotionally charged, very much talking about spiritual matters, yet at the same time has this really big, heavy sound that could work very well in a club as well as a concert hall. So he's somebody who's of the jazz world, but he isn't confined by it.
Well, it's good. I always am interested when pop culture re-recognizes jazz, you know. Well, before we go to the music, let's hear some thoughts from Kamasi himself. This clip is taken from an interview he did for BBC Music Jazz, and here's Marianne Hobbs.
So listen, I'd love to learn a little bit about your story. I believe that you first picked up a sax, your father's sax, at the age of 13. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. I've been playing music since I was three, but he wouldn't let me play saxophone. He wanted me to learn how to play flute and clarinet first. So when I was about 13, he had a rehearsal at our house, and I just really wanted to play saxophone. And I just kind of decided I was going to figure it out right then and there. And there's this song I really like by Wayne Shorter called Sleeping Dancer, Sleep On. I figured it out. I figured how to play it, you know, while he was in the other room. And then I went in there where he and his friends were, and I was like, look, see, I can already play the saxophone. So no reason for you to keep me from playing it. It's too late. I already figured it out.
Let's talk a little bit about your relationship with the saxophone. I guess you found a real natural affinity with that instrument, didn't you?
Yeah, it was my voice, you know. I think every musician kind of has an instrument that really speaks to them, and or speaks for them. And the saxophone was that for me. It was like when I started playing saxophone, I felt like I was playing an instrument that sounded like the music that I heard in my head.
Tell me a bit about how you actually learned beyond that first moment when you picked up your dad's sax. How did you learn to play? Did you have formal training, or were you literally just kind of moving with the wind?
Well, I mean, it's different. Like when you have parents that play music, so it was like we didn't have like lessons per se where I would sit down and he would, you know, it was more like I was just practicing all the time and he'd come and like, oh, you're doing that. You should do that. Are you doing that wrong? Or you should learn this. Here, play out of this book, or, you know, here, learn these scales. So it was kind of like a constant lesson, more so than like a schedule. You know, it's a little different, like, when it's in the household like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's literally music surrounding you all the time, really.
Yeah.
Kamasi Washington speaking there with Marianne Hobbs. Okay, let's get to the music. We're going to hear the first of the highlights of Kamasi's set now, recorded at the 2015 London Jazz Festival at the Barbican Hall on the 14th of November. The lineup is Brandon Coleman on piano and keyboards, Ryan Porter on trombone, Patrice Quinn on vocals, Miles Mosley on double bass, Tony Austin on the drums, and also Ronald Bruner Jr. on the drums. This is Change of the Guard.
Thank you. Thank you. That was Change of the Guard. You heard Brandon Coleman, a.k.a. Professor Boogie, on several types of keyboards and the piano. Now I'd like to play a song by one of my favorite composers of all time. This is an arrangement we did of Debussy's Clair de Lune. And we're gonna feature the most soulful trombone player I ever heard, the one and only Mr. Ryan Porter. He's soul brother number one in my book. Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back. Claire de Lune featuring Ryan Porter.
Kamasi Washington from his concert at the Barbican. You're listening to Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3 with me, Julian Joseph, in a special edition celebrating the music and influences of Kamasi Washington. And I'm still joined by Kevin Legendre. Great piece of music, Kevin.
Absolutely, one of the highlights of the set. And as I said, they hit the ground running and they kept it going right till the end. It was quality throughout.
Well, like you alluded to earlier, the epic, the album, has strings, it has a huge choir. Did you feel any of this was missing?
I think that was the key question we were all asking ourselves, because the epic wears its name well.
Yeah.
Epic in nature, epic in concept. It is a big production and it's very lush. I think his clever little masterstroke was to actually have that two drum, a very, very powerful rhythm section to give you all of that energy and that weight and that depth, so that you didn't miss those additional elements on the album. And also, they were just playing at a very, very high level of intensity throughout. And even when they were doing the ballads, it was still very charged. You know, there was this, you go to a gig and you feel that crackle of excitement, not just in the audience, but on the stage as well. They had that. I think the other thing we should mention as well is Kamasi has a lot of charisma. You know, we don't see a young musician come on stage in a big venue like the Barbican wearing full-length purple robes, a la Pharaoh back in the day, and pulling it off, having that real charisma to just stand there and say, well, this is who I am, this is where I'm coming from culturally, these are my influences, Pharaoh, Train, the whole spiritual jazz thing, and this is my take on it. And I think the audience really connected with that as well.
Perhaps a little Sun Ra too.
Absolutely.
We're going to our final piece now. It's called The Rhythm Changes. So, Kevin, what should we be listening out for?
Patrice Quinn, the singer, who sounds really beautiful on this track, which is very soulful, very funky, has that hip-hop edge that we talked about. And it really took everybody home, I think, in the best possible fashion. It was a great way to end a great gig.
Well, thanks, Kevin, for sharing your excitement and enthusiasm. Let's enjoy the music. This is The Rhythm Changes. Thank you.
Kamasi Washington, y'all. Give it up for Kamasi.
The Rhythm Changes from Kamasi Washington at the 2015 London Jazz Festival, and I hope you've enjoyed our special concert performance focusing on the music of Kamasi Washington. And thank you, Kevin Legendre, for coming in and sharing your insights.
My pleasure, Julian.
Staying with the musically uplifting, we turn to the music of British Indian clarinet virtuoso Arun Ghosh. Arun plays the South Coast Jazz Festival, performing at the Rope Tackle Centre on Saturday the 23rd of January with his quintet. The South Coast Jazz Festival runs from the 21st to the 24th of January 2016, and it's right near to Brighton in Shoreham-by-Sea, West Sussex. And you'll also get the chance to hear our special guest again, Kevin Legendre, and he'll be giving a talk. And it's the subject, Jazz for Absolute Beginners. From the album Northern Namaste, Arun Ghosh, Bondu.